You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On to Texas Rangers. I'm your host, Bryce Patrick, here today with Grant Schiller, the OG, the prospect analyst, prospect guru. Before we get to our talk, this episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join me next week when the Rangers have a day game and get in on the action. Locker Room, change the way we talk about sports. So Grant and I talked a little bit about the College World Series in this past episode. We're going to talk a little bit more about guys maybe to look out for next year's draft, guys who we think the Rangers should take, and another guy who is one of my personal favorites and a little brother of one of the prospects the Rangers already have. All that and more coming up on this episode of Locked On Rangers. I also want to look a little bit ahead because of my Red Raider bias to the next draft, and also because the Rangers are bad, and I think they will have at least top 10 pick, if not top three, with the way this season is going. But who are some guys? I know we have just done this very preliminary. Who are some guys on the list the Rangers might think about getting with the top pick in the 2022 MLB draft? I know there aren't many mock drafts out there. There's one from Perfect Game that I believe you have to be subscribed to, and I think Fangraphs might have some stuff on it. But who are some guys that you're just temporarily like looking at?
Yeah, so I mean, it's kind of people from the traditional spots. You've got, I think, Carter Young, the shortstop out of Vandy, is highly regarded. Connor Prelip is a lefty out of Alabama. I heard a lot of buzz on him after last year, 35 strikeouts, 6 walks. Left-handed arm, I think pretty nasty stuff, if I remember correctly. But he only threw 7 innings this year. I believe he got hurt. So it'll be interesting to see how he bounces back. Jace Young, as you mentioned, is just a freaking beast. Landon Sims out of Mississippi State, I believe, has been a reliever this year, but has been nasty. So it'll be interesting to see him as a starter.
Is Arkansas, still in there, right? Or did Arkansas get eliminated?
Arkansas okay. Still in.
There is a guy, there are actually a couple guys here who I think still will be in the tournament. Florida hasn't been eliminated, right?
They're out. No, they got destroyed in theirs.
Okay. Well, there was a left-handed pitcher from Hunter Barco from Florida, but disregard him. Shortstop Robert Moore from Arkansas is a guy to look out for. Also catcher Hayden Dunhurst from Ole Miss. And Virginia?
Virginia's still in.
Such a hard
Virginia's
time.
Virginia's playing okay. Dallas Baptist.
Okay. Chris Newell, an outfielder from Virginia, is also a guy in there as a guy to look out for. But I want to talk about Jace Young because he is not on this Perfect Game list. I think we're looking at two different Perfect Game lists, but that's okay. I don't know how they have multiple 2022 MLB mock drafts, but they do. But Jace Young, who, as my Texas Tech bias will come out, but just a little bit. But, you know, Grant's here to set me straight, and he agrees that he is absolutely ridiculous. I think he's still listed as a freshman technically, but he will be draft eligible after next year because he had his actual freshman season in 2020. He appeared in all 19 games as a true freshman, and Tech went 16-3 in that span. But this year he has been, gosh, they list stats so terribly in all these college baseball sites. It's so annoying. Like I have to scroll all the way down where there's no like actual list. He has 21 home runs so far this season, his first full season in college baseball, which I don't know if you remember this. You probably have still heard this about Josh Young. There's concerns about the power, and there is not concerns about that. 21 home runs in 54 games for his little brother, who is not little. He's a big boy, plays second base, has a .343 average on the year, and I believe has 10 doubles as well. I don't think his on-base numbers are quite as crazy, but the stupid stat list here is absolutely horrendous. Like, the what is the thing at the top that tells you what the legend of the thing is, like, that tells you what category is what is at the top. Then they have it listed individually by game. So I have to scroll all the way down to the bottom to see what the heck
you got to use. You got to use Baseball Cube for college baseball stats.
Baseball Cube. All right. Well, I will start doing that. But he plays second base. I don't think he's fine defensively at second base from what I've seen. He might end up being like a corner outfielder or something. Just kind of definitely an offense first, second baseman. But man, those power numbers really stand out. The guy who is young and literally young. But those numbers, they don't pop up from freshmen. Even if you're technically a second year freshman, like, that just does not happen. And like, these bombs are not wall scrapers. They are not cheapies. They are big, massive moonshots. He hit one to dead center field, I believe, over that ridiculous batter's eye. Like, the guy has legit pop from the left side. And that alone, plus he has a good eye, not as good as his brother's, but like, you're mashing that many bombs, like, I will live with a few strikeouts. But he's got a good command of the zone. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you're crazy on him at all just because you're a Tech fan. If I'm picking the best bat in the draft right now for 2022, it would be him. He's got more walks than strikeouts. He's got a 363 ISO and a 343, 469, 706 slash line against Big 12 competition. The guy's ridiculous. Based on what you hear, I haven't watched much of him. Based on what you hear, he might be more of a third baseman as a pro than a second baseman. But if you mash like that, I don't know it matters a whole lot.
No, it doesn't.
Looking at the high school guys for next year.
I don't know about his arm for third base. I haven't seen it that much. Honestly, I just watch a lot of his at-bats, and I don't pay as much attention when he's in the field because that's not where his bread is buttered. I watched a little bit. He looks competent at second base. He might have the arm for third. I don't know. But, you know, when the Rangers draft him and he takes over for Nick Solak, I don't think that anybody will be too worried about his defense if he's mashing at that kind of ridiculous rate.
Yeah. I mean, if you walk more than you strike out and have absurd power, you can play no defense whatsoever. I mean, you can be Nelson Cruz and just be a pure DH and still be a huge difference maker.
That's exactly true. I want him to go for Josh's hits record. I believe Josh. Let's see. Yeah, this is 15 home runs in his senior season. Actually, he only hit 343, which I thought he hit much better than that. He had hit much better than that in the past. Oh my gosh, that is exactly the same batting average as Jace. His final season was 343, and right now Jace is at 343. Will he stay there for the rest of the season? I don't know. Maybe. Actually, yeah, this was 2019, his last year. I believe. Let me see. 2018. I'm trying to pull it up. Yeah, he hit 392 with 12 bombs. So, Josh definitely, the prodigious ability to command the strike zone runs in the family for sure. Today's episode is brought to you by Sports Trade. You know, I've been talking a lot about Sports Trade lately. If you haven't heard about it, it's where fantasy sports meets the stock market. And it's no wonder this company is blowing up. The site is really amazing, and I frankly can't believe nobody else has thought of this concept before Sports Trade. It truly takes fantasy to the next level. Their platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players just like real stocks. It's a fair and super exciting way to cash in on your knowledge of sports, and they just added baseball to the platform, so go check it out. You can instantly buy and sell as many shares and as many players as you like, just like the stock market, then go watch your players battle and your portfolio value rise. Simply go to sportstrade.com, watch the How It Works video, and then sign up to get started. Making money with Sports Trade is simple. Player values rise and fall based on two factors. One, their performance in each game based on their projected fantasy points in that game. The more points they score, the higher their value. Two, good old supply and demand. The more shares that are purchased in a player, the higher the value goes. So simply go to sportstrade.com, watch the How It Works video, and then sign up to get started. Sign up today at sportstrade.com. Discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new world of sports trading. This is truly the evolution of fantasy sports. I really think you'll be amazed. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get into the game at sportstrade.com. Today's episode is brought to you in part by Fully Loaded Chew. Fully Loaded Chew is tobacco-free, long cut, and pouches that give you the same pack, dip, and spit and buzz used without tobacco. Available in 9 flavors, Fully Loaded Chew is made with all the food-grade ingredients and tobacco-free nicotine in the purest form of nicotine available. It's only the moist nicotine pouch on the market. All other nicotine pouches are dry, white pouches. Nothing dips, spits, and packs like Fully Loaded. Fully Loaded Chew is offering Locked On Rangers listeners a special offer. Right now, you can try a can for just $1. That's right, just $1. Go to www.fullyloadedchew.com. Use the promo code Locked On, just $1 and free shipping if you use the code Locked On at checkout. Next time you go for a dip, make it Fully Loaded Chew at fullyloadedchew.com.
So I'm looking at Perfect Games list of the top 10 high schoolers for 2022. And it is just absurd how these high school programs stack the talent the way they do. You always see the same programs at the top. You've got number one, who is Elijah Green, who goes to IMG in Florida. Number two player and number four players are both with the East Cobb Astros, per usual. Georgia powerhouse.
Wait, where is that? I mean, I'm sure it's somewhere around Atlanta area, but that's the one that I always forget. IMG is every sport. They've always got somebody. Right.
Yes. When I was a coach for a college baseball team down there, and we had our JV team went and played IMG, you walk around the campus, and it's like, okay, there's Mark Melanson. There's Chris Dale rehabbing. The head coach of the other team was actually former Ranger great Kaysen Gabbard.
Wow.
But it's just absurd what they have there.
Did your JV team beat them?
No, they did not. The JV team of an NAIA school did not, in fact, beat the IMG all-transfer team that had about 8 D1 transfers, including a Florida guy. But wow. It was well fought, I can tell you that.
Well, I'm sure if you were there, then it's better than if you weren't there. It would have been much worse. But you know, I feel like we've exhausted as much as there is for the 2022 draft. Just prepare yourself. Rangers, John Daniels, if you're listening to this, please just take our word and go draft the high school kid. You're not going to be competing in 2024. I don't think. Just draft the high school kid. Wait an extra minute. If Jordan Lawler falls to you and you've got a kid who should have gone 1-1, who literally grew up in your backyard and you don't do that, like, I don't know, there are any criminal child charges filed or something like that. But I want to talk about sticky substances. Is it Spider Trek? Is that the name of the substance that is the most common one?
Spider Tack. Yep.
Oh, Spider Tack, not Spider Trek. And I did see a tweet that said that with this Spider Tack crackdown, it means it's less likely that the Cleveland baseball team will be renamed the Cleveland Spiders, which is a real bummer. But like, I want your thoughts on who do you think the Rangers are going to suffer? Because help me get an understanding on what this affects, what things to look for in a pitcher that's like, okay, this guy, I've heard it's fastball spin, slider spin, like movement, stuff like that. And I thought that maybe Kyle Gibson was a guy, like maybe because he's having this out of nowhere good season, but I'm looking at some of his advanced numbers. And I don't think it affects the velocity, but the fastball spin is in the 44th percentile. I think that's about where it was before. And maybe that number is skewed because he splits between four seamer and two seamer, and you don't want a lot of spin on the two seamer. But the curveball spin is in the 39th percentile. So, like, maybe he's not anywhere like near there. Am I wrong?
No, I think you're right. I think it's a good point. I think almost every pitcher in baseball uses something. It's going to be your four-seam and slider guys who are going to want to use something that's like spider tech, that's going to make their spin rate go way up. For someone like Gibson, who throws a lot of two-seam fastballs or, I mean, sinkers, depending on how you want to classify it, he's not going to want to use something that's going to have that residual effect and up the spin rate of that pitch. So I doubt he is going to be a guy who's going to be a spider tech guy. Now, I think you'll be surprised to know that the Houston Astros were one of the first teams on this and have always had a more advanced goop for spin rate that has contributed to their pitching effectiveness. So I think they might be a team that suffers more. But also,
that'd be a shame. Real shame.
I know. Real shame. I think them, the Reds, maybe the Dodgers are going to be the teams that suffer the most if MLB really cracks down on this. But I also don't really care if they don't crack down, personally. Like, it's kind of a thing that's always happened in baseball, and the spin rate might be more advanced now, the sticky stuff. But in the past, there were other more advanced methods. People would scuff up the ball more. They used to throw spitballs. It's just kind of something that's always happened. So I don't really care. I don't really blame anybody who is using it.
Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. What is your favorite Built Bar flavor? You know, they're all fantastic, and they have 9 delicious flavors, plus the occasional limited time flavors to choose from. They've got cherry, raspberry, coconut, mint brownie, coconut almond, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, and, you know, something for absolutely everybody. There's just so many good flavors. And, you know, if you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box where you get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. Not only are they just absolutely delicious, they're healthy too. Most of the flavors have 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 grams of net carbs. So they're delicious. They're good for you. What more do you want? It's absolutely delicious. Go to builtbar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and you will get 15% off your first order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at builtbar.com.
As far as who it affects on the Rangers, it's going to affect your high spin four seam fastball guys.
Really? Because there's I talked about this earlier this week, but John King had a really, really kind of obvious non-committal answer when he was asked about it. Because they're asking everybody on the staff. He's like, everyone makes their own personal decisions, and I just want to leave it at that. So I'm like,
that's what Garrett told me.
Did you? But yeah, he's in something, and I think that the slider spin for him is frisbee-like, which I feel like we've both seen John King in Frisco, and like his slider was nowhere near what it's doing this year, right?
No, it wasn't. But I guess I'd be surprised if he was a guy who used it too, because he's a sinker baller. So I'm sure he's using something, but maybe he is using it. Maybe he is using spider tech, but I would not have pegged him as somebody who, like Garrett Cole, would be.
Yeah. And I think the most interesting thing about this whole discussion...
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go. You go ahead.
Well, 58% of his pitches are sinkers, and accordingly, he's fourth percentile in fastball spin. So I would be shocked if he's a spider tack guy. He's probably more of a sunscreen and rosin guy, which ups it a little bit and helps with your grip, but doesn't have the same outsized impact as some of the more advanced stuff.
So, and one of the interesting things I saw about this, besides Garrett Cole's just hilarious answer-not-answer rant in his press conference, which might be one of my favorite. Baseball press conferences are usually so boring. But, you know, got to hand it to Garrett Cole. He made it interesting. But some of the stuff that I'm seeing about Jacob deGrom, like his teammates avidly denying that he's using this at all. And some of the numbers backing it up. Jeff Passan was talking about how his fastball and slider spin rates compared to like league average in terms of their spin rate, like compared to the velocity, is like not it kind of indicates that he's not doing it. And also looking at his Baseball Savant page is just erotic. Literally everything's in like the bright red except for max exit velocity is only in the 63rd percentile and barrel percentage is 65th. But fastball velo, 100th percentile. Ex-WOBA, 100th percentile. Ex-ERA and chase rate also 100th. Every like all of these things like walk rate, whiff rate, rate, batting average, all 98, 97. But fastball spin rate's only in the 79th percentile, even though his fastball velocity is literally the 100th percentile. He is the best at it. And curveball spin is 78. So like that kind of makes sense and is still like if you want something like just absolutely erotic to look at that I believe is not blocked on work computers. That I don't think Baseball Savant is blocked on computers and people won't know how disgusting you are for looking at this because it's just, oh my gosh, it's beautiful. Also, even tonight is going to be round two of this year's DeGrom versus Tatis, which, whew, that is something that like I cannot wait to watch. Just seeing those two guys go out, and I can't wait till the Rangers have some guy who is like that. You know, I just want. The Rangers have some starting pitcher who's like a bona fide, like real, not obviously not Jacob DeGrom. Like I'm not insane, but just like some really good starting pitcher that's like actually a number one on like a half decent team, like that they actually grew and developed because they haven't done that since Kevin Brown, unless you count Yu Darvish. I don't count. They didn't make Yu Darvish. They just went and signed him, basically a free agent acquisition. Because he was 25 at the time. But they did out-scout everybody else on him or just were more sure on it and willing to commit financially and he was willing to commit to them. But, like, I want some bona fide, really good starter and, you know, Cole Wynn continues to impress and I really hope that he can be I don't think he's going to be number one on a half-decent team, but he could be number two. I don't know. Let me dream, damn it.
I mean, that's the ceiling as a number two. I mean, the percentages don't support him getting there, but that's certainly the ceiling. It's in play.
I want a good baseball team. Honestly, that's what it boils down to. I want the Rangers to be a good baseball team again. And it's so frustrating to watch.
That is a hot take, wanting the Rangers to be good instead of bad. I think...
You know,
maybe if that had been relayed to the front office 3 or 4 years ago, we'd be in a better place.
Yeah, I know. I've always stuck to this opinion. I like watching wins more than I like watching losses. You know, I'm crazy. I'm wild. I'm not afraid to say it, though. This is the sports podcast that is not afraid to say the insane things. What you might think this guy's a madman, but, you know, I don't care. I'll go out there. I'll say it.
That's why they listen.
But any closing prospect thoughts? I feel like we didn't touch that much on these guys besides Bubba Thompson. Is there anybody else who's kind of stood out? I feel like there's the Frisco rotation who had like the as of like last week had like the lowest ERA for any in minor league baseball. Is there any guys in the starting rotation who like flummox you? You're not really sure how they're doing what they're doing or just. They're worthy of speaking about?
No, it's a salty staff, so it makes sense. I'll see Yeri Rodriguez for the first time tonight, so I'll know more about him after that. Hans Kraus is not what he was. He still might be a big leaguer in some capacity, but it's more mid-90s, not as hard a breaking ball, still has the command issues as before. So you're really looking at a front-of-the-bullpen reliever ceiling. So it's not the same profile there, but he's still somewhat interesting. I haven't seen him in person yet. Jake Latz is somebody who's really been impressive. He's probably a reliever, really? Too, but you know he's a guy who commands and spins the fastball and has four decent pitches, particularly the slider and changeup. Crazier things have happened than guys with that profile being a starter. Might be a bit of a ticking time bomb with his arm injury issues over his career, but if he stays healthy, he looks good.
What are those issues? Because I didn't know very much about Lats heading into the season. He just kind of, for me, he just kind of jumped on the radar, like, out of nowhere.
So I think he's had a shoulder injury, an elbow injury, and a wrist injury, and surgery on each over his career. And he may have had multiple on some of these. He threw all of 8.1 innings in his college career due to injuries. But he looks good. I mean, he's going to be a big leaguer the way he's throwing if he stays healthy. It's just a matter of what capacity.
What is his profile kind of look like? What's the fastball? Like you said, he spins it really well. What's the velo range in that?
He's about 91, 93, so not overpowering. But from a lefty, that's a little bit more acceptable. And he spins it up about 2,500. So he's missing fast with it. He commands it up, down, arm side, glove side, kind of puts it where he wants it. Has an average slider that flashes above average. Has an average changeup that's flashed above average. And a curveball that could be successful in a 5% usage range. So, I mean, as long as he commands those pitches like he has been, that's a big leaguer. And, I mean, as I said, it's probably a reliever, but crazier things have happened with that repertoire being the starter. He doesn't have Mike Minor's changeup, but it's a similar fastball that played really well in the big leagues with Minor spinning it with a high rate and commanding it at a high rate. And he, for a little bit, was, a number two on a decent staff. So crazier things have happened than a guy like Jake Lats turning into a number four.
Yeah, and Mike Minor had multiple top 10 Cy Young finishes, so that's nothing to spit at. But yeah, definitely some guys worth watching in Frisco. If you see Hans Kraus, can you tell him to just fix? Just
I know. I go want back him to be so much better because he was so fun with the shimmy and the attitude. And just the mindset of a top of the rotation guy. Like, he was always a high variability guy.
I love that.
Yes, exactly. He was always a high variability guy who had the potential, if everything broke right, to be like a star. And he's just not that anymore. If everything breaks right, he's a middle of the rotation reliever. Which is just sad.
But what if he just what if that didn't happen and he just was just better? Just
I tell you what.
What if he had a time machine and you just made him better, or a baseball machine? I don't know.
I tell you what. If you build me a time machine, the first thing I'm going to do with it is I'm going to go back to 2019 when he was pitching through bone spurs and just have them take care of the issue, have the surgery, and come back.
I think that would have done a lot, man. Actually, I don't know if that's the first thing. There might be a few other things. Even baseball things.
No, actually, that's the first thing.
Well, if the Rangers didn't win in 2011, like, I don't know, if Ron Washington, let's say, made a really dumb decision not to defensively replace Nelson Cruz before in the final half inning. I don't know. That would have been really stupid. That's a really dumb alternate timeline that I'm not even going to go down because that'd be really painful for Rangers fans if that happened. But, you know,
there's just no
we
way
all
he
know
wouldn't
that
put Indy Chavez out there.
But he did do that, and the Rangers did win a World Series, and so that was great. And we do appreciate him for that. It's a real shame that Yu Darvish couldn't be on the team at that time and get in on that World Series action. But, like, also, as a real bit, can you imagine if the Rangers had got Yu Darvish in like 2010 as opposed to 2012? They would legitimately, like, they would have won 170 games both years, and no one would have touched them, and that would have been really fun if that happened. But, you know, I will not lament any moment with Yu Darvish. I just lament not having more of them. Also, there's a really good feature that I have not yet read, but I've heard very great things. And as soon as I hang up this podcast, I'm going to go read it on Yu Darvish and in The Athletic. So I would highly recommend going and reading that because we all love Yu Darvish. And if you don't love Yu Darvish, then just look inside your heart and realize that Yu Darvish is deserving of love. And just fix
and
that.
And the Hall of Fame.
Yes, already Hall of Famer in our hearts, minds, and in reality. But any closing thoughts before we head out to the weekend where the Rangers are probably going to get shellacked by the Dodgers?
Don't watch Rangers baseball if you can help it. Get MLB TV and watch the young kids who can hopefully save us all from a 380 winning percentage in the future.
Maybe they can do that. And, you know, Frisco's in town this weekend, so go check them out if you haven't already. Grant, I have taken more of your time than I deserve, but, you know, who cares? It's baseball. We always get carried away talking baseball. So that's going to do it for this week's editions of Locked On Rangers. I'll be back on Monday with more stuff. Maybe the Rangers will sweep the series. Who knows? Baseball is stupid, and the second we think we know anything, we know nothing. But, you know, maybe not, and even if they lose, I'll still be back doing a podcast on Monday. That's going to do it for this week's editions. Until next time, don't forget to enjoy baseball.